All right, welcome back to the boys at 161st Street, fresh off a nice sweep against the Orioles. Today is now Friday, the 31st. The boys are buzzing. Let's talk a little bit of Yanks' little win streak against the Orioles, 18 in a row, going for the record. Cole Shove, let's do it.
Man, I fucking love that intro.
Okay. How we doing? How we feeling, boys?
You know,
I'll say it.
I'm really excited right now because it's the first time we've all been together in a while in the same room. And I know it's going to be a fucking fantastic episode.
Yeah, you guys are in for a treat.
This is a fucking treat right now.
You guys are in for a treat. We can feel the vibes in the room. Fresh off a dub. Could have been such a bad episode. We were talking about it before.
It is 1 o'clock in the morning right now. I'm just going to point that out. And I am buzzing to talk some Yanks. And
yeah, no, this is for you guys.
Excited right now.
This one's for you guys.
I wouldn't be up right now if it wasn't for the Yanks.
I would be dead asleep. That's a lie. I've been up at like 2 o'clock in the morning the past 3 days.
But I'm really excited right now. I will honestly say that.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Definitely the first to say it. I'll say we're vibing good, but like I said before, this episode could have been so much worse. We got a few good bounces. Obviously, the bounces are due to Judge being the fucking god that he is. And also, Glaber seems to be okay from what we know. It's 1 o'clock in the morning post game. Friday morning, so to speak. He's fine, so we see right now, but. You know.
He said he threw 100%, which was good to see.
I couldn't understand a word he said. But
yeah, but that's what I made out of it when he said I could throw 100%.
Well, and Boone said he could potentially be playing tomorrow. So
yeah. I feel like they'll probably sit him just for precaution. So which I don't hate, but I
hope they don't sit him. I hope he's fine. He looked like he was in pain. He said he was in pain. He looked like he was in pain. But X-rays negative, that's a good sign. Yeah. What do you say? He had a contusion?
Contusion, yeah. Deep bruise. Bruises hurt. Maybe he doesn't play tomorrow just so he doesn't push it, but
yeah.
We'll be all right.
I was shocked on the Glaber note that everybody seemed to tee off, put up a lot of runs, 8 runs in the second game, 9 in the first. Glaber was the one who expected to go off. He didn't really do much.
I think we expected too much from him.
Obviously. I'm not upset about it. Not upset.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he had a horrendous series. I just think that we automatically just expect so much from him because he hit 16 home runs versus Orioles last year.
I mean, that's not expecting too much if he did it.
No, it's expecting too much.
It's 100% expecting.
No, I get it.
Yeah. No, well, that's the thing. Like, I would have bet the house that he struck out in his first at bat against the Orioles this year because all he heard in the offseason was how he had the Orioles number all of last year. So then he goes in thinking like, oh, especially at Camden Yards, like, you know,
yeah,
such high expectations.
All the hype, hype for the whole entire series was he's going to fucking just go bat 1,000 and hit 8 home runs. Like, it's not realistic. He had an incredible last season against the Orioles at Camden Yards.
Yeah, and I'm sure the storyline is all about him in terms of, like, the opposing pitchers. They know Gleyber Torres, so, like, a lot of emphasis on him. And then not a lot of emphasis on our guy Stanton. Everybody seems to hate about, but, you know, the guy goes out 4-for...
Guess what? The guy's batting a fucking 500 right now, so...
Guess what? The guy can play baseball, so, like, I say it a lot, and Murphy doesn't appreciate when I say this, but... Stanton haters, where you at? Because it's kind of ridiculous if you still are hating on the guy. I mean, what's there to hate? The guy's batting 500. I get it. It's a few games into the season, but it's a few games into the season.
Yeah.
And he's showing the form that he is. Like, he is an MVP player. It's 2 years removed. He does this. Like, this is him. It was not, like, characteristic for what we've seen of him prior. And honestly, that's me just listening and feeding into the Stanton haters because his year in 2018, like I have said before, was a good year, and I'm not going to get back into it because I'm going
to
get too
angry.
To
be clear, I'm not a Stanton hater.
I know. No one on this pod right now is a Stanton hater. I know Kev is.
There are some Stanton haters. Well, yeah, so we were talking earlier, and Kev said that he needs to see more from Stanton, which I personally disagree with.
I think if
he goes 0 for his next 20, then all of a sudden we're not going to be talking about him the same way, obviously. But he showed... You know, in the these 4 games, you know, equate to half a month's worth of baseball, and if not a little more. And if you give me a month's worth of baseball, percentage wise for the season, I will happily take that and not need to see more from him. Hopefully, he can keep it up. Don't get me wrong, but
I mean the guy is like, he just looks so much more comfortable at the plate.
Yes, he does.
We're talking about a world's difference right now from last year to this year.
He doesn't look like he's trying to do too much.
The guy is playing. He's hitting the ball where it's pitched to him, which is what we've always wanted from everybody who steps into the plate. We want them to hit the ball where it's pitched. You saw him 2 days ago hit the ball the right field. I keep talking about that. Where he slaps the ball right field in the outside pitch. Like, that is exactly what we want to see. We see it inside pitch, and he fucking drills it to left field 3 times tonight.
Mm-hmm. Judge chugging.
And he
along
went
too.
One to mm-hmm. and he went for 1 for 3 the night beforehand. Like, he's just seeing the ball so much better now. And he just looks so much more comfortable. He's batting fucking .500 right now through 4 games. Like, that's nothing to just sneeze at and overlook.
You can't write that off.
You can't overlook that.
So we were talking about during the game, Sen hits that piss rocket past third baseman, and they send Judge. Judge looks, Judge has wheels. People don't realize that if they don't look hard enough, but Judge has wheels. Horrible throw by the left fielder. Do you think anybody, a regular outfielder out there, throws out Judge or what? Because they decided to send him.
I think Judge throws out Judge.
Judge throws out Judge.
If you have somebody, you know, with an absolute rifle attached to their arm, he's thrown out, but they, you know, scouting report, blah, 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 like, they're going to send him based on whatever.
Knew
I think
that
the
Dennis
average,
Smith had a
if you throw the average arm out there, it's a close play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know what he was doing. I could have made it better than that with my left arm. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a terrible.
But before we get into that game, let's do a little bit of a recap of game one. So game one last night, 9-3 victory for the Yankees. Gerrit Cole gets the nod, and he's going for his how many wins in a row is it? He's going for his 19th.
Going for 19. I think he needs 24.
So he has 19. Fact check us for those listening at home, but he's going for 19. He's somewhere close. The most wins in a row consecutively, not including playoffs, is 24 by a starting pitcher. Gerrit Cole is about to break a record because I don't see him losing a game with this offense behind him. Do you guys?
I mean, it's very unrealistic that he won't lose a game just because of stats and what happens in real life, but I'm very confident that every time he goes out there, he has a chance to strike out 10 people and come out with a win. I have no doubt in my mind about that.
I mean, we were talking about it before we got on the air. We looked at just the standings board, and we looked at every team, and obviously we're the Yankees, but you throw him out there against any team, let alone the teams we're going to be playing this year in the East alone, but you put him against any team with this offense behind him. Honestly, even without this offense behind him, I don't see him losing to a team, but you add this offense behind him, who is scoring at least 8 runs a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did come out shaky a little bit after the rain delay this most recent game. But you know what? You put Gerrit Cole on the mound, I'm not worried. And honestly, he gave up 3 runs in that game, but it really wasn't like that. Like, he was out there for over 100 pitches. Honestly, I think Boone left him in for a little bit too long. But, I mean, when it's Gerrit Cole, like, he doesn't want to come off the mound.
Yeah,
so.
But it's also a game where you're winning by a ton. And, like, you want to get your reps in when you're pitching. Like, you're going out there to throw a certain amount of pitches, and when you're winning by that much, you might as well just keep the guy in there if you're really trying to get your reps in. That's like an early early in the season kind of decision, but I personally don't think you see that down the road when we're getting closer to the end of the year.
I have a question. So if Gerrit Cole has a no decision, right? So, like, he comes out in the sixth inning, for example, and we're tied, and doesn't get the win. Does that ruin the streak or no? Or does he have to get a loss?
The inning's a loss.
So he doesn't? Okay. See, so, like, I wasn't sure. I don't know.
I think he needs a loss.
Because I think that changes the likelihood of it.
Yeah, I haven't looked too deeply into this, but honestly, if you're looking at likelihood, I mean, the road ahead is tough because we're only playing East opponents. We're playing the Rays soon. I know we're playing the Red Sox next. You'll definitely get the dub against the Red Sox because they look even worse than the Orioles. So
yeah, they look tough.
Honestly, but talking about Cole right now, like, we put him out there. Yankees go up early, as we did this game too. I was cool with taking Cole out and having him pitch today because, like, in situations like that, see, there's two sides to the story. I was cool with them taking him out early because, like, why waste the arm if he already went one inning? Like, that's like a reliever going. A reliever can go the next day. Right. And I get there's a whole a process with the day. Like, he did his bullpens before. It's a lot more than just the innings he actually threw. But I don't know. I was cool with them taking him out. And also, I get the other argument that like it's early in the season, you want to get it, have him get the reps in. You want
but
to
also
throw
but,
like.
But also like bullpen arms are really valuable right now, and I think we're going to talk about it a lot when we go into the next game about how we kind of were a little confused about the bullpen use for the second game. But let's pretend we're not talking about the second game right now, and we're just talking about the first game. Like Gerrit Cole threw 6 2/3, and to be honest, he was lights out for that second half, that majority of that game. He let up a couple of, you know, he had a little mishaps in the beginning of the game, but I think he just tries to get in that little like jitters out, and then he comes back stronger than ever. Like he was fucking throwing like 98 towards the end of his outing. Like he's the type of guy that just gets stronger and stronger and more competitive and learns throughout the game, and then he comes off the field and then goes back and studies how he did and studies the chart and how he did. And he was pissed about it. He was like, fuck, man, I let up a fucking pop-up that almost went out.
I mean, we knew he was going to do that too. And we
saw that it's just so cool to see. But
it's refreshing.
It's so refreshing to see because he's saving those bullpen arms. And even though we left him out there for a little bit longer, like, I don't really care because we're saving the bullpen arms to be fresh for the next day. But obviously, we're going to talk about it next day in a little bit. But that's kind of where I'm not that upset that he was still in there towards the end of the game.
His strikeout numbers, however, like last year, you know, he was striking out everybody. And then this year, he has 12 through two games. I think it's 13 innings, maybe 14.
Yeah,
innings.
He had seven last outing.
Five, the one, the, oh, it was the six-inning rainout.
Yeah, six-inning rainout, yeah.
Like I don't know I'm if I'm going to say this cause for concern, but no. And I'm not going to, again, like if you're not allowing runs, I don't care how you're getting outs, but they're down a bit. And it's just something to at least keep an eye on, I think.
It's also not like the season just started. He's getting, I think pitchers need more time to work than batters, but then again.
100%.
Yeah, you could argue it either way, but I think pitchers to get into midseason form need more than batters. I think batters obviously need a lot of time to adjust to live pitching because they haven't been able to see that pitchers can work, obviously, in the offseason and throw their pitches as normal. But I think getting the timing down and being able to, both ways, it's difficult when you're not facing the real thing. So I don't think there's cause for concern with a guy like Gerrit Cole. And honestly, just there's a sense of just safety when you know, like before we even saw that clip of him looking at the box score, somebody, he was looking at the book after he just got pulled, after still pitching a very good game. He left the game with a 5-run cushion, whatever it was. And it's just like, there's a certain sense of safety. Knowing a guy gets upset when a ball is hit, not even, he gives up an out in an inter-squad game. And I think that was a big indication right away. It was an inter-squad game. He gives up a fly ball to left field, not even deep left, and he's upset. Mm-hmm. I think that is an indication of the kind of gamer that you're getting in Gerrit Cole. And he's out there on the mound every single fucking time, and he's upset with, if he doesn't strike you out, he's pissed off. And I fucking love that because that's something we haven't seen before. And you see it like night and day when you see James Paxton, absolutely the opposite of that. He's the opposite of a gamer. He's in his own head. And you see guys like Tanaka who can get in their own head as well. And then just like you go to a guy like Gerrit Cole who's an absolute gamer. And the second he gives up, he does the opposite. Here's the difference. Obviously, we know that Gerrit Cole versus all these other guys in our rotation are night and day compared to anybody else in the league too. But when Gerrit Cole gives up a home run, he gets pissed off. Mm-hmm. He gets fucking unbelievably better after that. And you even see the stats too. Like after he gave up that double to Iglesias or whatever his name is on the Orioles, the shortstop. After he gave up that double to him, they gave up one run. He retired the next 14 in a row. He just gets something fucking clicks in his mind that gets him so angry.
But I don't know if it's, I do think it's a little bit of being pissed off, but I think a lot of it is just learning throughout the game, which I think is huge. You saw Gerrit Cole throw a knuckle curveball in the dirt to Gary Sanchez. You saw a couple outside fastballs cutting in, and Gary was kind of not setting up in the right place. And then that's when they went back into the dugout and had that conversation about what they could do better. So I don't know if it's a sense, it's a little bit of both. It's yes, like, hey, I'm fucking pissed, like, let me do better. But it's also like, the communication process is so much better between catcher and pitcher than what I see with any other catcher and pitcher.
Yeah, it's not like blind rage and anger, like where, because like you said, like when you get angry and you get pissed off, there's two ways to channel that. You can channel it the way he does, where it kind of motivates you to turn it around, where you go in the dugout and you communicate with Gary on how you figure it out. And then there's also the blind rage and like the anger that happens with Paxton, where you kind of shut down and then you really just can't pull yourself out of this little groove. And that's the difference. When you watch it, it was night and day. Like when we watched Garrett Cole throw against the Nationals and then you watched Paxton throw against him the following day, that he gave the home run to Adam Eaton and then didn't allow another run. And he started striking people out.
Angry,
he
only had five.
He gets angry. And then once Paxton started giving up runs, clicks. Like they just started kind of fumbling and bumbling.
Yeah.
And but there's just a difference there that you can even tell on like watching it on television. And I'm sure it's even more like dramatic in the dugout.
But like that's the thing of him getting better throughout the game and like you see, for instance, you see a Paxton let up a run in their first inning. He's done for the rest of the game. His mindset's gone. He doesn't know what to do. He's just continuing to throw balls out there.
Same with Tanaka.
And the same thing with Tanaka. Same shit happens.
Same with most players on our team. Hap recently.
And they just shut down. And it's like,
yeah, I mean, it is most players in the league. No, not I'm. We obviously know not.
Well, that's why Garrett Cole. That's why we pay for him
$24 million. Like,
but the point is that you don't see the rest of the guys after an inning going up back at the Gary and being like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry, I missed that outside corner. Like, can you sit up this way next time? Can you do this next time? How can I be better?" Like, I don't see that back and forth with everybody else. It's literally just with Garrett Cole after an inning, and we've only seen this guy pitch 1.5 games. For the Yankees so far, and the difference is night and day. It's incredible.
He's the professor. He's out there working. He's out there studying. He tries to get every edge he could possibly get on somebody, and I fucking love it. And that's just literally, like we've said before, it's something we've never seen before. And, I mean, you see it when Cole goes out game one, and then the next day Hap goes out there and shits the bed. So it's just like, it's something that when you look back to net last year, and you realize the struggles we had on the pitching side, especially the starting pitching, obviously, because our bullpen was good. But it's just a refreshing taste that when you know Garrett Cole comes out there. Like, I know how, like, our friends, some of our friends are Mets fans and some of our friends are Red Sox fans. I now know how they feel because, obviously, we haven't had a real ace. Severino was that for 1 year, maybe 3/4 of a year. But, like, Red Sox fans have Sale. They know when he's out there, obviously not last year, but the year before that, when they won the World Series, they know when he came out there, he was shutting the door. You know, you get a win that day. You know, when the Mets go out there and they have DeGrom out there, like, obviously they have no fucking offense, so I mean, they feel like they're going to win that day. And with Cole on the mound, I feel like any given day, we're going to get the win.
That's like this. I think this is like how I felt when CC came in 2009. It's the same exactly. kind of thing. Like, that's the last time we had it. Once CC fell out of his, like, dominant years, that feeling kind of went away for a while. You're right. And Seve and Herman, who also had a ton of wins.
Yeah, but I never felt that way with
that's
Herman.
The thing. Like, they had the wins, but the confidence wasn't necessarily there because it was like, wow, good for them. Look at them. They're playing. They're pitching really well. But it wasn't like, oh, like, Herman's pitching today. We're fine. We're golden. Or Seve's pitching today. We're golden. Like, yeah. It comes with Cole, and it comes because he's a different kind of competitor. And it comes...
Like, Herman got the win totals, but like we always know, win totals aren't a fucking valid statistic because guys who have won back-to-back Cy Youngs like DeGrom don't get any wins. And you see those stats all the time where if DeGrom got 3-run support in any given day, sure, he'd be 30-0. But like, I don't know. We just haven't had that sense at all of just the security of some guy taking the fucking rubber and towing it and just knowing that he's going to fucking shove that day. And then he just resets. He does so much for the team. He resets the bullpen. Like, he just a stopper. Like, if there's in the playoffs, I can just foresee it. Like, it's just something of such security that, like, a guy like that comes out and maybe the bullpen is spent from a bullpen day, possibly the day before or the day after. Like, you've been just using up the bullpen. J-Hap goes fucking half an inning, gets pulled. I don't know. Somebody else after that. And then you put Garrett Cole out there, you know he can go 9. You know he at least can go 8, yeah. And he can go 9, and he can just fully reset the entire bullpen. And we know the stat last year where we saw all the time that the Yankees never use a reliever 3 days in a row. And with him out there every fifth day, we can pretty much guarantee that again because he can reset everything.
But this is also something we talked about before the season even started was the impact of Gerrit Cole just being a leader and a mentor right off the bat too. Like, you see this guy coming out here and trying to make everybody else better. And that's like really what you pay for in a guy like that. You pay for a long-term contract because you get obviously a lot of the golden years out of the guy, but also he's going to be that leader on the bench that we've always wanted in a pitcher. You know, you can have a hitter leader, but you need someone in the rotation and someone on the pitching staff that can act as that mentor and leader and pushing everyone to get better. And to be honest, like I don't know when was the last time we had somebody like that, like a CC in his prime.
So, yeah, I was gonna say CC, and I think CC turned out like that in general because he lasted the length of his contract, and your role changes the older you get, and we expect that with Gerrit Cole when we're paying him for 12 years. But Cole has 8 years, whatever, sorry. Like still long because he is 30. But anyway, late in his career where he's going to decline in his years on the Yankees, and we're still going to have to pay him that amount of money. So it's where does his value lie later on in his career? And he has it in him to be the CC factor where you can be 40 years old and still contribute something and to the team, even if you're the fifth starter.
Yeah, and you saw CC's impact towards the end. And still now, he's still helping Cashman be the front office guy.
Front office boy.
Like, you still see that happening.
Behind home plate, taking a peek, how the pitcher's doing.
Yeah, like on the behind home plate with Cashman during spring training. Like, that's the kind of guy
who
Yeah, that's the kind of guy you see come out after Ruko. This type of thing.
Yeah.
R2C2.
Exactly.
Ruko.
So I like drawing comparisons
Montauk
between the two.
Montauk Brewing Company.
Yeah. Give us a sponsor.
I like drawing the comparison between the two of them because hopefully we can draw the comparison
somewhere else
after getting a World Series off the year that we signed them both. That'd be great.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying I like comparing CC to Gerrit Cole. I think they're very similar. They were both coming off career years when they came to New York.
Very similar.
Hopefully they both end up getting World Series.
Yeah. I would like a World Series. I'm not going to get into the whole, it doesn't count because it does. You know what? I one comment. For those that were saying it didn't count, I'm not going to get in this whole conversation. The feeling I have with this season, and I'm sure everybody else, this is a real thing. This whole thing's the real deal. That's all I want to say.
I think we're all expecting that when it was going to start. Yeah. We're all like, when it starts, we're all going to forget about
this
everything.
This is the full real deal. Everything about this season feels regular. I don't even give a fuck that there's no fans.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about that much because I think
I just want to make a daily
point. Why would
you
play it if it didn't count?
No, yeah, I know. And we all knew that. But now just getting a feeling 5 games in, it feels real.
Yeah.
Everything feels real. Finishing off game one, in that game, just a little recap. Obviously, Cole shoved. Ford gets his shot. Like we've been calling for, I've been calling for. We'll get into that after. Just the situation between him and Voit. Judge hits a homer. Hicks hits a homer. Pimps it. DJ is a triple short of the cycle. And honestly, he could have got a triple on that double, but he looked like he felt bad. We were up by so much that at that point that he literally just turned it off. Like,
DJ did miss a beat.
But DJ hit one. Like, he could have.
No, I saw the replay.
He could have easily let that into a double. He just fucking sent the brakes. Didn't even try to go to third because we were up so much. It's almost like you're the varsity team. You're playing JV in a scrimmage game. And it's like don't pour it on. Stop pouring.
DJ is just so automatic. He's just the kind of guy. Just like you see a ball in the gap and he just thinks double and just gets a second. And that's just he's just a robot. And he's just like, all right, single in the gap. All right,
dude. He's
double.
Such a robot.
Okay,
like I love like that, man. And isn't it crazy that he, like, and I said this before, like, everyone was like, oh, don't start DJ he right away because he just came off COVID. He needs a little reps. Like, everybody needs reps. Like, not him. He doesn't need any reps. Like, he just throw him out there. He's a gamer. He's the Gerrit Cole on the offensive side. He just can do anything. And you see it. Maybe first game. I don't think he had a hit the first game. Probably had one just because, fuck it, why not?
A couple at-bats.
He needed a couple of bats. It was game one. And then game two, he was 4-for-5.
With two RBIs, yeah.
And then today, he has another clutch hit. He went 0-for-4. We all looked at each other. It was like, because we didn't even realize he was 0-for-4. That's when you know a hitter is good. It's because when he goes 0-for-4, you're just like, really?
He comes back and just gets a hit. Like,
and then when we all saw that, and then we were like, oh, like he's going to get a hit right in this spot.
And I know we're going to get into the next game in a little bit, but like, When you think about like when you think about like just like the clutch factor, like we were like talking about Yankees coming back and DJ got a hit in the top of the ninth and we were just like, okay. Like it was just like, it was such like a nonchalant like event. We were just like, yep, okay, DJ got a hit. All right, what's next?
It was so casual.
We expected that.
And then what was next?
Yeah, and then Judge. Judge hit a home run.
Yeah, we're like, all right, we just need him to get on.
We're not
here.
There yet. We're still in game
one.
We're
not there yet.
But, all right, but without getting into Judge too much, we were basically like, all right,
well, he hit a home run game next. One, too.
All right, we know who's up next. So DJ needs a hit, and he's due for a hit. He's 0 for 4. Boom. Opposite field, move him on, move him over, let Judge clean up.
Yeah. But going back to the first game though, I do want to talk about Ford for a little bit, just for a second, because
let's talk. Because
we were just friendly banter we're having. Because I said this before, I was talking to Rel before the game and I said, what would be a successful game for Ford? And what I said was he needs to get one hit and he needs to get on base. So that's get on base twice and get one hit. I think that'd be a productive game for Ford and that would prove that he needs to be in the lineup a little bit more. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on how you thought he really did in that game and then if that has any impact on his starting capabilities moving forward. Open to the open mic.
So
I know where this is going.
I'll take the talking stick. Yeah. So, we were talking about it before, like we said. A constructive game for Ford to keep the conversation going, him versus Voit, was getting on base twice, whether it's a hit and a walk. I think that was enough to do it. However, I was a big proponent. I was all for the Voit train, the Voit train to just stop rolling. I've been very outspoken. I'm not a big Voit guy. Voit showed out today.
Yeah.
Voit may have changed my perspective on him slightly.
But this
goes
back to the same thing that I was saying before, how he hits a fucking home run and then everyone changes their mind.
Well, he did have two hits and a walk.
All right, still.
Okay.
Voit doesn't hit a grand slam today. You're not saying that.
Absolutely not. But how are you going to say because he hit a grand slam, you can just write up? All right, hold on.
But this is this. We go back to the same fucking cycle every time.
I literally, and this is exactly what I was about to say. I was going to be like, He sucks until he doesn't. But I'm just saying, I've always said that Voit has been like this. Voit will go 0 for 10 at bats. Everybody will be calling for his job and be like, Ford, where you at? Everything like that. Then he hits a home run and everyone's like, oh, Ford, where you go grab some pine, dude. Like, Voit is the man in New York. He's the first baseman. He's the next, like, Mark Teixeira. Like, it's just like, people give a lot of credit to Voit. However, right now, where we're sitting right now, we're currently at a Ford reset button. Like, he's back. In Scranton for the time, obviously not in Scranton, he's on the team, but like he's not in the starting lineup because Ford got a hit and now got on base, which was enough to keep the conversation going until Voit hits a grand slam and then gets another single. Where we sit right now, it's in a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And you know that's how Boone is taking it too. Like, how are you going to bench a guy that just hit a grand slam and got a single? And that's how it's going to happen. And now he's going to go 0 for 10. And then we're going to have the conversation again next week, and then he's going to probably hit a home run, and then he's going to fucking do it again. And just, this is how it's always been.
What I was saying to Murphy was that I wouldn't hate a lefty-righty switch every now and again.
Yeah, I like this idea.
Because, like, if righty on the mound, you put Ford in, lefty on the mound, you put Voit in, I don't think, again, we go back and forth saying how we don't know who to start, yada, yada, yada. We got Ford does a good job. We got two base hit. You got a home run.
Keep in mind, Voit went yard off lefty today.
Exactly. Lefty. And what did Ford do yesterday? He had an RBI, sac fly, and a walk, which I think are two good at bats.
No teams.
We can't afford two teams.
There's no doubt
so
that Ford
is. No, but there are two teams. There's one. There's the team when a righty's out, and there's a team when the lefty's out.
Which I like, because I think that serves a purpose for both of them, and I think that they're both great bench bats.
Well, one has to be a bench bat. One is
Yes, but they're both capable of being a great bench bat.
Capable of being a starter. You don't want to be capable of being a bench bat. It seems like you're not shooting for the stars there.
No, I think they're both capable of being both. Look at our bench.
I was holding on to the words you used. You said capable of being a bench bat.
Sounds like they're capable of being both.
You're shooting for the bench bat.
Yes, but that's your highest point. But if I'm saying if Voigt gets a starting job, we're not going to throw Ford back to the minors. Is what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, of course I was just saying. When you're capable of something, you're not going to be like, he's capable of an F.
We're talking about twisting our words here. I'm trying to make a point saying that they're both capable of playing both roles on the team.
Yes. Platoon. I completely agree with that.
We should platoon them.
Whether we do or we don't, I'm not going to be angry if Voigt's in the lineup. I'm not going to be angry if Ford's in the lineup. Unless one of them goes on a horrible stretch that factors in or something. Tomorrow, whoever they put in, no matter who's lefty, righty, whoever. If it's a lefty, I'd like to see Voigt. But whoever's pitching tomorrow, if either of them are in the lineup, I'm not mad about it.
Actually, me and you talked about this, actually. I wanted to bring this part up. I will be angry if one or the other is in the lineup on one condition. If we're under the assumption that Voigt is the starter or Ford is the starter, I'm cool if they announce, okay, this is going to be the situation, we're going to have a platoon. And that's that. If one or the other is a starter, I'm not it seems like there is obviously a position battle. And when we're all calling for Ford, Voigt obviously heard us, and he knows that. You had to believe he came into that game with a chip on his shoulder because he knows people are calling for his job. And I'm so cool if we just end this position battle and just say this is a platoon, but obviously I'm not the manager, and we can't guarantee that. So until then, I'm going to be calling for my guy. And I've been a flip flop on this one. I don't know where to begin.
Listen, it's a good problem to have because I don't know if they're going to do the platoon. That just doesn't seem like Boone's alley. I don't think he'd want to do that. No. I think he's just going to kind of go into the game and say, who do I want to plug in there? And we're going to have to trust it and we're going to have to stick with it. And I think that's the only really way around it. Yeah. And it just goes back. Doesn't matter who Boone decides to put out there. I think they're both serviceable, especially offensively.
You know why this conversation?
But I don't think they're ever going to list Ford as a starter. Or Ford as a starter. Yeah. This year at least.
No, I know. But you know why I keep bringing this conversation up? It's because I'm foreseeing the playoff roster. And once you start a playoff roster and we get in the playoff series and all that, there's no time for platoons. I get it in 162. Everybody's going to get their shot. It's going to be fine. It's going to be all good and grand. Hey, you know what? If I'm Luke Voigt and you're Ford, hey, why don't we just split the season? We'll all get some time. That's all fun and great until the playoffs start, and then there's no room to move around. You have a roster, and that is it. Until somebody gets hurt, that's the starting nine that is going to be out there for the entire time. Until you're blowing somebody out and you get defensive replacements, that's the only time something else comes in.
Look what the Dodgers did, and they fucking blew it.
You're talking about when they benched Bellinger?
Yeah, and they fucking just did the righty-lefty lineups for the game. It was the World Series, right?
They were in a system that they move were
in this line.
That clearly didn't work.
You got to throw all the philosophy out the window when it's the playoffs.
Shat on Matt so hard for that, and he had no answer because it was ridiculous. I mean, I didn't shit on Matt. He was the beneficiary of that. He's a Red Sox fan, but I digress. but that honestly was probably the dumbest move in the history of sports to me.
Yeah.
Because honestly, think about it now. At the time, Bellinger wasn't what he is now, but there was the hype around him that he could be what he is now. And then he goes out and wins the MVP the next year. That's just ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, now looking back, they benched the MVP.
Yeah.
That'd be like benching Mike Trout in the World Series more than half the games. Don't roll your fucking eyes at
me. He wasn't quite there yet.
But, he wasn't what he is now, but he was very much there. He was very much not benchable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's more. Yeah.
Back
but
to you, Skip.
Not Mike Trout. Mike Trout wasn't the best example.
Back to you, Skip.
Either way, I think I like to say we have a champagne problem at first base.
It's a champagne problem.
I love both of them. I think they're both going to.
However, I do think it is a conversation once the playoffs start. That's why I keep bringing it up.
It's a big conversation.
Oh, it's been a conversation.
And I think that.
No, but I really think. Obviously, right now, like I said, we can just table and be like, whatever, like platoon. But once the playoffs start, somebody's got to win.
Once the playoffs start, it's really going to be about who we think is going to produce the most. And that goes into getting on base, doing their job, getting a hit. It's a lot of different factors. It's not just hitting a home run once every 10 at bats. You need to be able to go out there and produce and do your job consistently, even if that job is just getting a walk, hitting a runner in, getting a ground ball, moving a guy over. Like these
you know who does that?
Tyler Wade.
No, I'm
Billy Bean,
co-leader of the Tyler Wade fan club. To my right is the original founder of the Tyler Wade fan club, Murphy Group. Here we go. Shout out Murphy. But you know who consistently has great at bats? Damon.
Who's that, Rella?
Miggy. And you know what? If we're gonna talk about one of the best hitters on this team, through and through, OBP, free swinger, can hit it. He can helicopter a ball that's above his head. If we're talking about playoff roster, and yes, we're talking about playoffs.
Playoffs?
You're talking about playoffs? Yeah, because this is a 60-game season, and we're literally in a pennant race because it's 60 games. So if we're talking about playoff rosters, I have gone on rants before, and I will say it again. Miguel Andujar needs to find his way into the everyday rotation, and that is me saying that, forecasting that he needs to be into the playoff roster every day. Because as it sits right now, he's getting the start every fifth day. Mm-hmm. He's not a pitcher. That's not okay. Like Gerrit Cole gets the start every fifth day because he can buckle it down and he gets the ball.
Yeah.
Miguel Andujar is an everyday player. He doesn't, like, if he's getting the ball every fifth day, he's getting that start wherever it might be, at DH, at left field, at first base, God forbid. I don't think that's ever going to happen. He's not touching the field in the playoffs. That's my point. That's what looking at what's going on here isn't reading too deeply into it, isn't overreacting, because if you don't see him on the field every single day, for the most part, 4 out of 5 days, currently, if the playoffs were to start today, he's not cracking the lineup. That's why I'm upset.
If the Yankees could just upgrade one player at one thing, it would be to upgrade defense. Miguel Andujar's defense in the outfield. If they could plug him in the
outfield.
Yeah, like if they could put him in the left and he was a good defensive left fielder. I know he doesn't play left. Like if they could just have like one gimme where they're like three wishes, but you only get one. Their one wish is to make Miggy a good defensive left fielder and still be able to hit. That would complete the lineup in just a wonderful, wonderful
that
way.
Or Clint.
That's well, yeah, and he's not. Or whatever. Clint
too. Huh? Same wish if you do with Clint.
I guess. But like Miggy's got the bat a little more there. I don't know. And whatever.
Miggy's a little more proven.
They're going to find their way
for
to get
right
him
now.
In. He's going to be in the lineup. He's going to be in the playoff lineup.
You think he'll figure it out? No.
I really do.
They'll figure him a way out to get him every day into playoff rotation.
They're going to find a way. There's a DH.
There's a lot of things.
I don't.
That's an impact bat.
I don't know if you can throw a guy out. Like, I don't think you can throw him out there in the playoffs. Maybe not in left.
I'm saying maybe throw Stanton out left. I don't know why they're not doing that. We were talking about that earlier.
Listen, if the plan is to get Stan healthy and keep him on the DH spot until we get further down the season, and then you throw Miggy the
Carlos
DH.
Stan.
If that's the plan, I'm all for it, and you give Miggy the DH spot towards the end of the year into the DH, into the playoffs,
Giancarlo
and you throw Stan out there. Like, if that's the plan, I'm all
in
for
the
it,
outfield.
But it's really unclear. I don't know.
Stan is our left fielder.
He should be.
They
yeah.
know something we don't about his calf. Like I
we
think
talked
they're worried about,
that.
About
Let's
yeah
get
we
into
did.
That.
And like so there are two possibilities basically is that they're worried about him getting a fully like brand new injury by playing the field, which we at least agreed
it
is
has to be
ridiculous. Or there's something with the calf that
that's
he can't move
be.
Laterally maybe, or there's something that like is he's got a re-injury risk, something with the calf that's keeping him out of the outfield.
I have seen so many comments on this. I fully agree with that, Murphy. I've seen so many comments, just plenty of people saying, like, he's injury prone. It's not worth it. That's the worst thing to me. It's not worth it to put him out there. I've seen somebody say, with a contract that large, he's got so many years left on his contract, it's not worth it to have him play the outfield and risk injury. Okay. So you have Mike Trout. He has a huge contract, right? What is it, 12 years left? 14 yep. years, whatever it is? So is it now not worth it to throw him in the outfield because he has such a large contract? Is that not worth it? Is it not worth it? Because like, are you that is the most pussy thing I've ever heard in my life. If you're predetermining that he's going to get hurt, if there's nothing existing, Which makes me think, and I agree with you, Murph, that there is something that has to be nagging him that they're not there. That's why Boone's being careful, because if you're not, if you're trying to deter him from getting a random new injury that flares up, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
There has to be something underlying that we don't know about, because that, him that they're the trying to.
The best possible lineup.
Sorry, my cat is a dog.
I wish the best possible lineup includes Andujar and includes Stanton. It's a cat.
It's a dog.
Yeah, she's
a dog.
Awesome, though.
She is. But the best lineup includes Stanton and it includes Andujar in a way where you pick one of the two to put in left and one to put at DH. The sensible thing seems to put Stanton in left and have Andujar DH.
Yeah, you just don't want that kind of liability in left field, even in the playoffs. You can't have somebody be out there in these high leverage situations who has been out there before, and or not even been out there before, but just not the experience that is needed for these playoff situations. It's just you need a guy out there who is used to that kind of that pressure and making those tough calls, like. That's one of the big reasons why Clint was struggling so much in the beginning, because he didn't know how to make those tough calls. He'd be diving for balls when it was so out of range. He would be not diving for balls when he should have been. Like, he was so in his head and trying to figure out how to play the position and just how to read balls. And that is the bigger part of the position rather than just going out there and getting under a fly ball and catching it. It's so much more that goes into it.
All right, so what are your big takeaways from game 2? Game tonight, we just saw it. Murphy Group, big takeaways. Go ahead.
Game 2, you're saying?
Game 2.
Okay.
But game 1's been burned.
I think the biggest question mark was the not bringing in Canley in the 8th and leaving Loizaga out there. When during the rain delay, we were talking, and Loizaga was in the pen just beforehand and then was coming in after the rain delay. And we're like, all right, like that's a good spot for Loizaga. Going into the 6th inning, you can get through 2. And then, because Adovino had already pitched by that point. So, in theory, you have him throw 2 innings, then Canley, then Britton, bada bing, bada boom, wrap it up, whatever. And then they just signed, left him delivered. In a little too long. And they were talking about it earlier in the game, how Canley hadn't thrown in, I think it was 3 days, and yet neither had Adovino or Britton. So, it's not like they needed to save Canley. It's not like they needed Loizaga to throw that extra inning so they could save Canley. Like, Canley needs to throw regardless of what the score is at that point, because you don't want to keep him too cold there. So, I don't really understand why they didn't throw Canley. That was just a question mark, but obviously it worked out. It also shows we're never out of a game.
I mean, I love seeing that.
Those are the takeaways I took. That was the thing. I'm wondering why, but
whatever. I do agree that he left him out there too long. It felt like while we were watching the game, it felt like the game seemed like it was over. Like, obviously you're playing the Orioles, so every game kind of feels like it's over, but these are guys that play baseball at a professional level, loosely I'll use that term, but I mean, they could hit a ball that's put down the middle, and Loizaga isn't necessarily a Gerrit Cole out there, so I wouldn't put him over any guy in the Orioles' current starting rotation, because they could definitely catch Loizaga slipping real quick. So I mean, but it did seem like they put Loizaga out there. Loizaga looked good for the first couple innings.
Yeah, I think if they took him out, and then it just felt, talking about how great Loizaga
is today. It just felt like Boone just kind of was like, yeah.
I think the problem with Loizaga, and I think the problem that we see a lot of the times, that he just throws a little too many pitches and he lets runners on base. you see this guy who he pitched today. He threw 3 innings. He got 1 hit. He had 2 walks and 4 strikeouts. And he had, I think, like 40, 50 pitches.
Look great.
That's a good outing, but he's letting these guys on base, and it's kind of in that situation where let guys on base and the worst can really happen. That's where that ERA comes in. And like I personally, I feel like Boone should have taken him out a little earlier when he saw that this situation was getting a little bit out of hand. And you have these guys on the bench. You have these guys in the bullpen to come in and throw. It's not like we had a crazy day the day before where we used our whole bullpen up.
Right.
We have these guys readily available to go in and pitch. Like, why not just let them pitch?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if we're pressed,
give them the reps. Like, they haven't pitched. It's been a couple games. Like, let them get their reps in. They need to be able to get better throughout the season. This is the perfect situation to do that.
That's what I think Loizaga is meant for, is to be able to go in and throw a couple innings if the if the bullpen's stripped and they can't go throw, if Canley, say, had been used the night before, and thankfully we had Cole to tie it back to how Cole can reset the bullpen. The bullpen was reset tonight. There wasn't a reason to leave Loizaga out there for three innings, especially after Randle. Like,
well, the Randle threw a lot of things off.
It did, but it didn't because Canley didn't pitch. So, like, you're going into the eighth inning with a guy who's thrown two innings already, then pull him.
I think they left Loizaga out there longer than normal because of the rain delay, because he almost saw it as a second half game. Like, okay, this is Loizaga's start. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
But I feel like
he has the stamina.
I feel like
I agree with that. I changed my mind. It's just Loizaga made a couple mistakes and then.
But I feel like Boom was treating it as if we were up by 10 runs.
He was.
He was treating it as if it was a situation where it was a no-brainer win.
He was treating it as if we would treat it if we were the managers because we're playing the Orioles. He feels the same way.
That's not a way to manage a game, though. That's not a way to manage a game right now.
I would have put in Canley.
You know what? I mean,
that's not an excuse to do that.
I know.
In hindsight.
No, I get it. But in the moment.
I was wondering that before the home run.
You know what? We're not in this situation if Hap doesn't fucking blow.
But if we lost that game, we would be having a completely different. We would be,
oh my god,
blaming Boone that he left him in that.
We already are. Imagine what we would be doing if we lost.
I'm just saying, like, you can't leave a guy in that long when you have this number one bullpen in the fucking league to go out there and produce. Like, what are you doing that for? Like, go out there and let them get their reps.
Speaking of which, when do we get Chapman back?
Hopefully soon.
Soon,
like,
I think.
I mean, it's been more than 2 weeks.
I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't really been looking into it, but I...
It was, like, what, 5 days after LeMahieu?
You're squatting, like, 700 pounds. Like,
didn't Tanaka get hit after COVID. He was out?
And Tanaka's back, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Saturday. Like, Saturday.
I really feel like we should at least have news on when Chapman's coming back.
I haven't really looked too deep into it.
I haven't heard a thing.
But, you know what? We don't get into this situation. Back to the game that just concluded tonight. If J-Hap doesn't fucking... He was so bad. He looked useless. He's in midseason form, as Kev said. I mean, just some stats, too. Like, his home runs per nine given up. He's third in the league last year. Given up 1.9 per nine. That's not good. That's not what you want. And it's all in the first inning, so it seems like the Paxton situation. But, like, he does not have it.
Yeah,
I don't want him touching the rubber.
Yeah.
Do you?
Well, we overreact to this last year.
J-Hap.
And the year before.
I don't think this is an overreaction. I overreact a lot.
No, I know. But
I don't think
this
is an overreaction.
He kind of figured it out last year a bit. He does give up the home runs. Like, that's well known. I'm not debating that. I am a little concerned because of the shortened season that both of our lefties got shelled. Paxton and Hap. That worries me a bit.
I'm less worried about Paxton. I feel like he's able to figure it out. But
me too.
But Hap is just...
Paxton has the talent. Hap is far from the talented one.
I mean, four innings pitch, four hits, four earned runs, two walks, and two strikeouts is not something you want to see on a daily basis.
You know who's against?
The fucking Orioles.
He always gets killed by the Orioles, though.
But
if that's a thing, that's not a good thing.
It is a thing.
To have on your record.
My guy's throwing fucking...
That's not good.
My guy's throwing 91-mile-an-hour cock shots down the middle. Like, you can't be doing that.
And walking people, too.
And walking people. It's just... It's...
Good news on this game. Obviously, it's great to have a grand slam early in the game. That made us feel like this game was over before it started, and then obviously they crept their way back into it. But, I mean, goddamn, it's good to have Judge on this team. And we were talking about it, like, we knew DJ was going to get that hit in that spot, even if he went 0-for-4 for the entire game. It's just, players like that don't care about how bad he'd been doing prior. They block it out. They're like, this is a new at-bat. I'm not going to get in my own head. I'm going to get a hit no matter what. This is my time. I'm going to get a hit. If a pitch is thrown where I like it, I'm going
to
hit it.
And it's good to see Aaron Judge come in and be clutch because... That's one of the, maybe it's just my perspective, but that's one of the things where I feel like he needs to, I guess, perform a little bit more on. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but we saw a stat beforehand that was like he has hit three home runs in the ninth inning in his career. Three go-ahead home runs.
I think.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I think that just from me watching games, this is one of the few times where I've seen him really be like the clutch factor in a high leverage situation to come back and win a game.
Yeah, I mean,
and so maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me, but
you're right.
I like kind of disagree because, like, in high just because of the usage of the word high leverage, like, he's a high leverage guy. He wouldn't be the face of New York City. He wouldn't be the face of the Yankees if he wasn't. Come from behind, home runs in the ninth is like a pretty hard stat to get. Like, it's pretty rare that that even
right.
happens.
And that's what I'm saying. I could be completely wrong with what I'm saying right now, but from my perspective, I feel like I haven't been in situations where I am watching the game and he comes in clutch and wins a game or comes back and gets to go ahead run. And I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm saying from my personal.
You are a little wrong in that sense. I know. I see what you're saying. He does have obviously the games like the wild card games that he hits home runs. He walks it off. But in a regular sense, like the everyday situations, there are more clutch players than him on the Yankees roster. DJ being one of them. Hicks being one of them. Like that I do.
And I'm not saying he's not.
I get that vibe, but I did when we were just to put it in perspective. I do when before that even happened. I was screaming. I was like, Judge, be that guy. Just be that guy for us, please. Because DJ, like in terms of a trust factor, bottom of the ninth. Exactly. You know what? I'm not even gonna say exact situation Judge was in last night. Who do you feel most comfortable with in that box? I'm gonna go DJ.
DJ.
Judge is probably third on my list.
See, I feel just...
Honestly, maybe fourth behind current Stanton. Stanton, as hot as he is right now. But you know what? I'm not going to use recency bias in this situation. I'm going to go Judge third behind Hicks and DJ.
So you're telling
they're just
me.
Clutch factor. What I've seen in the previous years.
That's kind of what I'm saying, though, about this, though.
See, I disagree. Like, Hicks is definitely very clutch. DJ, I'll give you. But you're telling me that with men on first and second... With one out in the bottom of the top of the ninth inning, you would rather have Hicks up than Judge.
I'm just saying based on prior situations, Hicks has been more clutch. That's all I'm saying.
But that also comes somewhat from like being in certain amount of clutch situations.
I get it.
You know, like
and that, all and I that was asking
that
for
was it tonight. And all he showed I was up asking for, it, for so.
Was, yeah, all I was asking for was Judge to be that guy in the situation he was. So he was. Then I take back.
And all I'm saying was that I think is kind of proven my point so far is that maybe he just hasn't been put in those situations so far. Maybe I just haven't been watching in those certain situations. You know
what,
but
anytime he was, he's.
But he showed out tonight, and that made me really happy. Is what I was trying to say. Like absolutely. Him being the star of a team. And I'm, you know, he's coming back from, you know, trying to come back from his injuries and be back and come back and play to the standard of what she was playing a couple of years ago. Like that to me is so much more important. And he's gaining that confidence in these late game situations. And that's just really cool to
he's
see.
He's on revenge tour.
Yeah.
And revenge tour Judge is there. And there are plenty of other people on this team that are on revenge tours. Another one of them being Stanton in this game goes three more hits, four more hits. What is it?
Three for and he was just, 3 for 3 with a walk.
He
and
was
grounded out.
So three for four today with
absolute
one walk, one RBI, one run.
Batting
over 500.
This guy and I hate to be the guy who keeps repeating himself, but Stanton's good at baseball.
Yeah, you can say that.
He's definitely good at baseball, and I'm not going to say any more about it. Ooh. This game.
Let me bring up one more thing about the game today. So I know we want to talk about a little bit, but just Sanchez. I think we were talking about it a little bit because some people were comparing Sanchez's kind of hitting drought to Gardner's hitting drought, and they are, in my mind, I think we all agree on this, completely different. And kind of we'll talk about a little bit about that, like Sanchez. He doesn't have anybody behind him trying to take his spot. He's that catcher.
Yeah. No, I was talking about that before. I was saying, a lot of people were saying, who are you more worried about, Judge or... not Judge.
Guardi or Sanchez.
Not worried about
Guardi
Judge.
Or Sanchez.
Guardi or Sanchez. And Guardi is in a loaded outfield. There are so many people itching themselves to take his spot. One of them
who
being...
Who are all capable of doing
one
it.
One of them being Clint... One of them being Talkman, one of them being Miggy if he gets the fucking shot, Stanton if you play him in left. Any of these guys are willing to take that spot. And it's just, Gary is Gary. If you go, and that's why, like, you can get as mad as you want about Gary going 0 for 55 but we don't have a backup catcher that is going to take Gary's job. Higgy, you want like, this conversation doesn't even seem like it's like worth having.
It's not
because there's nobody that's going to take Gary's job. Gardy, on the other hand, that conversation, that's why I'm bringing the conversation up, because it's he has plenty of people that are going to take his job.
Well, that's why it wasn't.
There's nobody coming for Gary's job. There's nobody coming for Gary's job.
Gary's also going to be able to figure it out. He's a pure hitter. He's the best hitting catcher in baseball. He's going to figure it out. He's having a slump for 15 at-bats. People do that all the time.
I think Paul O'Neill was saying this in the game today, and he was just saying, like, that first hit you get in the season is so important, and if you don't get it early on, you get in your own head and it kind of messes you up. And I completely agree with that. Like, obviously, none of us have any experience dealing with that, but I get it. Like,
I do.
I get the fact that you can get in your own head and you're trying to go out there and get that first at bat, get it out of the way, and get that hit. But, you know, I'm not as concerned with Gary because I know he'll figure it out. And he's the type of player who is like entering his prime of being that Yankees catcher who we can be a core team player for years to come.
Yeah.
Gardner, on the other hand, is someone who is
on his way out.
He had an amazing year last year. He's an amazing career at the New York Yankees, and we have been so grateful for him being a player on this team, and no one wants to take that away from him. But you have to let some of these guys come in and play their role that they're meant to play.
Yeah, and like I've said about Gardner before, is that people are saying, like, have the last year of respect for Gardy. Like, it's his last year, let him have it. Gardy got that respect by getting the contract that he's getting right now. The respect is given. Like, you think he's worth $12.5 million? No, that was the Yankees giving him the respect. The respect has been paid. The Yankees have cleared that check, and now we don't owe him anything more. Like, just because we spent $12.5 million in 1 year doesn't mean we have to start him. We're the Yankees. It's not your fucking money. Why does it matter if you burn that $12 million? Who cares? It's Gardner. If we have 60 games, like we were saying off the air, 60 games, we're 5 in. Gardy hasn't got a fucking hit. He didn't play tonight, but he probably wouldn't have gotten hit, as abysmal as he's been looking. Like, that's the equivalent of 11, 12 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going 0 for 11, 12 games in the season, you're getting pulled, no matter who you are. Yeah. Whether it's for a couple games or the entire fucking rest of the way, you're getting some sort of pull.
Yeah. No, that's true, but it's also which you like, did. Baseball is still baseball, and game to game, you still can go 5. So, like, that's there's two sides of that, and you can take what they will, but I think the respect that he's not getting, that he's owed, is the respect of the fan base, where it shouldn't be, you know what, fuck Gary, or fuck Gardy, I'm done with Gardy, like, pull Gardy, like, he shouldn't be playing right now, like, somebody else should be in there, should not have been in the lineup tonight, but I feel like this year, we've kind of hit the panic button on a lot of people that really don't need to be pulled that quickly. And Gary should not be playing, or, wow, sorry, late night. It's like, what, 2 o'clock right now? Sorry. Gardy should not be playing, absolutely, but he also shouldn't be being slandered
but by Yankees I don't think we're slandering him.
He's been slandered because he shouldn't be out there.
That's not here's the thing.
He's in the lineup. He's not going to be like, I'm not slandering
him. Boone's not going
to
take him out.
Murph, there's a difference between slandering somebody and just trying to figure out the right role for them.
No, yeah.
Where you saw CeCe in his last years.
Exactly.
He was doing his role. Great he wasn't. He wasn't trying to go out there and do more than he was capable of doing. And when he went out there and didn't produce what we hoped he would do, we took him out. And everyone still loved him as he went out and did his job. Like he came in for a game and he pitched one to one person. Yeah. He did his job. Everyone went crazy because that was his job.
And that, I think Gary should be treated. Or wow, again, sorry, Gardy should
figure
be
it out,
the same
man.
Way.
Yeah, Gardy, he should. And I think. Again, there is a place for him in this. There is a place for him on this team. I think it can be that bench bat or that bench spot. But you got to give these guys the opportunity to go out there and produce, especially when you have
Gardy or Gary.
Gardy.
Murph has been thrown me off in this conversation. Stop playing with your mic.
I'm sorry.
It's really annoying.
It's really irritating. I'm sure everybody hates you. I'm sorry. Murph has ADD.
Sorry.
So if you've been hearing a noise throughout this entire podcast, it's his fault.
But yeah,
leave him a bad review.
Anyway,
Murph sucks.
Gardy has a spot in this team. It's not in the left field. It's not in the starting lineup. but he has an important role in this team that we can never overlook. But for right now and for this season, what we need, and with the talent that we have on that bench, you need to have other guys out there. And that's what I think that's what every Yankee fan is trying to say, but it always comes off wrong because we're impatient and we're just like, fuck this. We're not saying fuck this guy. We're just saying give the guys the opportunity to go out there and show out. I'm close to
saying fuck this guy.
But you can't say that. Yeah, like you can't say that.
Don't
like,
say that.
We're not going out there and disrespecting the guy who went out there and played for 11 years with the Yankees and won a championship.
No, and
because
like,
he's been
and
the
like
heart
Murph,
and soul of the Yankees.
And like Murph said, it's more a stain to Boone, who did pull him today, so I'll give him the credit there. It's that if you're gonna keep putting him out in the lineup, like why are you doing that? He doesn't belong in the starting lineup every day. So I'm not gonna shit on Guardy because he's putting the start. His name's in that fucking lineup. He's gonna play and he's gonna try. And he just doesn't have it anymore. I really don't think that's an overreaction because he came off a career year having 25 home runs, whatever, juice balls. How you doing? But it's just like, even when he was doing that, he kind of looked lost at the plate. Never was a guy hit for average. Never was a guy, he hasn't made a single All-Star game his entire career.
If you put,
it's
if,
just like, if he's Boone, never been really that guy. He's a big time Yankee, but I mean, we said it best in Five Milestone. If he's in the lineup, what did we say? We were saying
shout out Five Mile.
Shout out Five Mile.
I think we were just kind of saying like, if he's in the lineup nowadays, he's going to be serviceable, and you can't blame him for starting him in the lineup this year for the first five games, and then he had that little window, and then he didn't perform in it, so now it's next man up, and then Talkman's there or Andujar, if one of them can't figure it out. If they can figure it out, great. If not, it's on to the next one.
The main
just
thing,
keep plugging guys
the main
until
thing
somebody
was
can
that
do it.
If Guardy's role was defined as a role player, I wouldn't be getting upset if he wasn't producing like he is supposed to be doing this big thing. But if he's clogging up a spot in the lineup in that nine hole that Miggy could be doing better in, I'm gonna come at his neck because he doesn't belong there. And if that's Boone's fault for putting him in the lineup, penciling his name in there, then that's his fault. I'm gonna come at his neck because, and it's less about him; it's more about Boone taking him out because he doesn't belong there. If you're in the starting lineup, I expect this out of you, especially if there's a guy that could be doing better, that's literally in the Yankees organization that should be playing. And if that's if he's a backup and if he's coming in as a pinch hitter like Wade, imagine Guardy in a Wade scenario where he comes in at the end of games, whatever. I don't expect much out of you. But if you're coming in every single day and starting and batting five sometimes, let alone nine, he's usually the five hitter to break up the lefty-righty, which is fucking ridiculous because if you have righties as good as ours, righty-lefty splits don't even fucking matter, which blows my mind. But if you're going to be that guy batting five just to be that lefty in the bat, In the batting order, it's just like, I'm going to come at your throat. I'm going to come at your throat because you don't belong there.
I do blame Boone because I'm going to bring back the CC again. Like, you don't see, let's just play a scenario game right now. If CC went out there and started games last year and was doing terrible and we kept throwing him out there, we would probably shit on CC the same way we're shitting on Gardner right now. But it's not his fault. It's Boone's fault or the manager's fault for putting him out there in those situations. Like, it's not their fault for going out there and not being able to produce the level they were used to producing. It's like they've already proven themselves as lifelong Yankees and contributors to the organization. And then you have a manager who's supposed to leverage and manage a team and use their skill set and mentorship to the strengths of the current team, not to what they used to be, what they are right now. And Gardner still has a huge spot on that team to be a mentor, a leader, and you know has a great spot in left field in certain situations, not in an everyday starter situation, same way as CeCe was last year. He wasn't going to go out there and be an everyday starter and produce the way we hoped he would produce in his prime. He had a role, and he went back and he did it. Like, that's what we're hoping for. And that's why I feel like Boone is a little more to blame with the situation right now. And it's kind of ruining his reputation as he kind of, as he goes out.
Yeah, kind of dragging him through the mud.
Yeah, as he goes out and kind of like ends his career with the Yankees.
The collected check, that's it. You just give him $12.5 million.
Like, he needs to go out on a high note. And I think Boone playing him every day. Yeah, playing nothing definitely was better for him, but Boone playing him and allowing him to not perform at the level. I know it's a small sample size. Shout out Murph to say that, but like, it is a small sample size because obviously Boone wanted him to be out there and play a game and bat.
But Boone putting him out there is causing me to bully him.
But he's
played four games.
Yeah, like, exactly. He played one game. He played one game in the fifth spot, didn't hit. Played another game in the ninth spot, didn't hit. Like, yeah, after a certain amount of games, you get a little weary and you start to blame somebody. But it is Boone's job to give him the opportunity and the chance to do so.
Right.
If you keep doing it, then we start to question it. But we're talking about what can be when the season gets rolling in the middle of the season towards the end of the season. If right. he keeps throwing him in the lineup and he still starts to underproduce, that's when I'm starting to say, fuck, like, get him out of the lineup because you're ruining his reputation. Get him in that spot.
You. I'm with you there. Like, I mean, you can't blame Boone for starting him in the first week of the season because of how well he played last year and how it's his spot.
But you know what?
We didn't play him today. We'll see how he does about next this, week.
But Boone pulled him. It happened. Right. So we'll see how he treats it.
But we don't know
forward.
If that we don't know, what the reason was for that.
Scheduled off
though.
Day. Yeah, I know. I hope it wasn't just a scheduled off day. I hope it was like a reset. Because obviously he's not just sending him out of the lineup. But you know what? We'll see. However, we do have a few games coming up against the Red Sox starting tomorrow. We got Montgomery going tomorrow. Tomorrow at 7:05. Then another game the next day, Saturday, and then another game Sunday. So a nice weekend set against the Red Sox. I think it's a 4-game set. Goes Montgomery. Tanaka is back in the lineup. And then you got Paxton sporting his 27 ERA. Going for another.
Tommy takes that time.
Going for a crack at it the second time around. But, you know, what do we expect out of Montgomery tomorrow and Tanaka? What do we even expect out of Tanaka, dude?
I really hope that we can.
Are we Russian Tanaka?
I mean, we don't know. They know.
I'm not a scientist or anything like that, but
we don't know anything about how
that guy took a crooked number off the dome, and that didn't look like it was pretty.
We won't know that until Saturday, right? Saturday's pitching.
Saturday's
pitching. So I think if we take two out of those three games, that's expected, and if we sweep, great.
I'm expecting Montgomery to go out there and just look confident and be able to get outs. I'm not looking at him to strike out 10 people. I'm looking for him to get outs.
You got to hope that, right? Because when you look at this rotation, and this is genuinely a concern for me, you look at this rotation, Garrett Cole, shover. He shoves. He likes to shove. Hap stinks. You got to hope. These are the other three guys. You got to hope Montgomery's that dude. I mean, we kind of need it. You got to hope that Tanaka is healthy. Because even when he's healthy, he's a streaky pitcher. We know that. We know he shoves in the playoffs, and that's what we need. We're going to get the wins. We're going to make the playoffs. That's fine. But you know what? Who knows about his health? So are we rushing him back? That's a question. Storyline going forward. Paxton has a 27 ERA, one start, but mental midget. We know that. So honestly, are there more concerns about our starting rotation? Obviously, our bullpen is elite, but I have a few concerns about the starting rotation, aside from Garrett Cole.
Tough first start to the week, but we got the depth to figure it out.
Yeah, and people forget that we have King a couple amazing people in the minor leagues to come out and bring up if we need to.
I don't think Schmidt makes a big impact this year, though. King has I think he'd make a big impact. King looked very good in his rotation until he did.
If this is a sample of what is to come, I think that one of those guys makes a huge impact.
I mean, this three-headed horseman right here, I don't expect anything out of Hap going forward for the rest of the year. Like, anything. But Montgomery, Tanaka, Paxton are probably the three most important pieces in this team. Because we're going to win when Cole's on the mound, hopefully. And you know what? Like, what if we don't win with Cole's on the mound? Then we're in a world of panic.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Cole does, if we're in a situation where Cole doesn't win that day, then you like, what makes you think Montgomery, Tanaka, and Paxton can get out there and get the dub if Cole can't? So those three, honestly, are the most important people on this team. Because I know every day in and day out, Stanton, Judge, all of them, Glaber, DJ, they're going to hit. Hitter's going to hit. They're going to have off days. They're going to have whatever. But they're going to hit overall. If these guys can't figure out, pitchers snowball. And if you go out and you have a 27 ERA to start and you have another bad start on Sunday when Paxton pitches again, Tanaka's unhealthy and Montgomery comes out, like, shits the bed and isn't who we think he is, we're in a bad situation. However, if they all shove, great. But it's a big question mark for me.
Truth of the matter is, even with less than ideal pitching, we're 4-1, and we're going into a series against the Red Sox, who are kind of a joke. So I really think, like, if we're getting, like, nitpicky and finding problems.
I get it, but
which is fine. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. But in the reality of the situation is that we went 4-1, which is a very good week in baseball, with subpar pitching, except for Gerrit Cole, which I think just leaves us in a really good spot. And, yeah, no, that's really it. But.
So let's close out and give out our awards. So we do this every episode. There's an Ellsbury Award, who goes to the worst player of the week, and then there's a person we give the belt to, the championship belt, like the Yankees do. Why don't we start with the bad ones so we can end on a good note? So, Murphy, who are you giving the Ellsbury Award to?
I'll give it to Swing and a Miss Sanchez.
That was the easy one.
Yeah, I figured I'd get the easy one out of there. Just, you know, he's 0 for 15 with 10 strikeouts. I know he'll figure it out, but for now, I'll give it to him.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to not give him. I mean, if you didn't pick him, Damon was gonna pick him. If Damon didn't pick him, I was gonna pick him. He just looks fucking horrible out there. And I mean, until he gets a hit, you gotta keep riding with him as the Ellsbury Award. But
yeah, I think that's the guy we need to highlight the most right now. Obviously, Hap is the secondary person in that award category. But we did win that game. I know he wasn't a contributor to that win, but We did them in that game, and other guys came and picked up, but Sanchez needs to figure it out.
Are you picking Hap? Are you picking Hap?
I'm going to pick Hap, just to be different and give someone else the award, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Obviously, I picked those two first, so if I'm going to go three, I'm going to go with my guy, Wade. I want him to have a little bit more of an impact. He's put out there, almost makes a fantastic play out there. I'm just going to be that guy. You know, he was out there.
He had a lot of opportunity.
He doesn't get a hit. I don't think
he had a diving catch in right field. Like, come on.
He didn't. Wade?
No. The guy, Cedric Mullins. Dove it. Robbed Wade of the base.
I want to see results, Murphy. Jeez.
Hey. You just spent about 30 minutes telling me about how you hate Brett Gardner all of a sudden, and you won't even pick him.
I already picked him last time.
Oh, yeah, we can't keep repeating everybody.
I've been bullying Brett Gardner.
All right.
I'm going to give him an off tonight.
Let's close it out. Who's good in the belt? I got a wild card one for last, so you guys go ahead.
You got to give it to Judge.
Yeah, I'm going with Judge.
No, I'm going to give it to Judge.
All right, I'll give it to Voit then for the Grand Slam.
I'm going to give it to Judge, and I mean, Judge just proved to be that guy. We already talked about it. Judge is getting the belt for me. Right. Got to give it to Judge.
Give it to Voit.
I'm going to give a little shout-out to our guy, Brooks.
Montauk Brewing Company.
Brooks Krisky, who came out and made his debut.
Who the fuck is that guy?
This day, and he came out and filled an inning.
Stop saying debut.
Can you let me...
It's like baloney. There's a silent letter.
I say words like I say words.
It don't make sense.
You say potato, I say potato. Who cares?
I care.
I'm giving it out to Brooks because he came out, threw an inning, had 2 strikeouts. He came out and showed up for his debut.
Those are Hall of Fame numbers.
And congratulations for coming out and playing. Like, you get the award for the week. Welcome on the pod.
All right.
The Yanks are 4-1. Top of the division. Lot to celebrate.
All right. I think that's enough from us. It's too late. It's 2:00 in the morning.
I'm losing my mind right now.
Yeah.
So
I'm surprised we even got through that.
That was this episode. We recapped the 2 games. We got another game tomorrow, another game after that, another game after that. 4 game set against the Red Sox. If you made it this far, you guys are the real ones. Make sure to rate, subscribe. We need some ratings on iTunes. Those really help us out, make us want to make more episodes. New episodes are going to be out every Tuesday and Friday from here on out for the rest of the season. And who the hell knows, once the playoff starts, might do an episode every day. But, yeah, expect episodes Tuesdays and Fridays. Leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And Montauk Brewing Company, please sponsor us.
Yeah.